Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
I appreciate so much the spirit of prayer that has been in our church this morning. I appreciate so much the presence of Jesus Christ that has flowed toward us and has manifested himself toward us. We deeply appreciate that. And in the midst of, different anxiety and depression and fear and all manner of things, it is really a comforting, encouraging thing when the Holy Spirit just descends upon you and begins to minister to you and speak right to your heart and tell you he's aware and he knows how to take care of things. Just trust me, it'll all work out. Amen? God does do that, and he's a wonderful God for that. I want to start this year off kind of dovetailing off of or springboarding off of last week's message. Remember, we were talking a bit about Gideon and his condition, his circumstances, and so forth. We're not going to do much more than just use him as an example this morning, but I do want you to turn, if you would, in your Bible to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be reading from the fourth chapter. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I think we've spent a year talking, not every Sunday, on faith and greater faith and letting our faith grow. And you can't preach a year about that and encouraging about that without expecting something to take place. I don't know about you. Some of us may not be real good at it, and that's not a criticism. It's just an observation. Some of us don't know how to exercise our faith. Some of us are learning how to do this. Some of us have done it a long time and need to be refreshed in what the Holy Spirit's doing now and all that kind of stuff. And because Christianity is a growing thing, it's not a stagnant thing. It's a upward advancing faith. And as we grow in that, God does things. God responds to that. There's a couple of things, faith being one of them, the other being faithfulness. Amen? It's one thing to have faith in God. It's one thing to trust in the Lord, and that's awesome. One thing to trust him for your salvation, trust him for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, all those things that we need as people to sustain our Christian walk. All of those things are very important, but if we're not faithful, in other words, complete our task, fulfill our mission, complete our course, finish the course, our faith is going to fall short somewhere. And there's going to be effects of that. There's going to be things happening because you've not been faithful. Oh, I've had faith for a week, but I need to be faithful for a month or a year or for the rest of my life. And so what makes that both shaking and exciting, it's shaking because we oftentimes just don't even get that. We don't even get that, hey, man, I need to stay on fire here. I stay on course. I need to keep doing what God is having me doing. And so we get shaken with that. And the other one that gets exciting about that, because God never makes us aware of these things unless he wants to change those things or do something about them or cause your faith to respond to his power. Because when God speaks to you, whether in correction if you've sinned or instruction if he's guiding you or directing you somewhere, all of those things is the way God moves in our lives. But if he's doing those things, he has a goal and a purpose, obviously. And the end of that is going to be highly beneficial to us. It's going to be exciting, and we're going to advance as Christians. I would dare say, just a guess, now, I don't know how long you've been Christians, and my memory's slipping. I don't even know who all of the Alexander kids are anymore. I look at one, I see them all. I was at dinner with one the other night, and I was wrong. I have never been there. What do you mean? Oh, it's my brother. Okay. So I know my mind is slipping. But I would dare say that if you've been a Christian any length of time, what I mean, not just a week, 2 months, maybe a month or so, but if you've been a Christian for any length of time, year or so, or maybe more, and I'm sure there are some that we have a wide range, a gamut of how long people have been Christians, But I would make a giant leap of faith and say this. I would dare say you're more mature and advanced today than you were when you first became a Christian. Am I correct? Yeah, because that's the way God works. Now, there may have been times when you stumble back a bit or whatever, and your course was interrupted by whatever circumstances. But my point is, over all your life that you've served Jesus Christ and lived for Him, I guarantee you that you are far more advanced now than you were when you began. And with that in mind, I want to read this scripture for you. I think that's a good introduction to where I think God wants to take us this year. If we've been building greater faith, and I know I have greater faith today than I did at the beginning of last year, because I've seen so many more marvelous and powerful things that God has done. Things that were absolutely not doable by people, doable only by God. And that's very encouraging and reassuring. So if that's the basis, the foundation is our faith, greater faith, stronger faith, closer faith. However you want to describe it is irrelevant, but that you are describing it is very important. But I want to talk about you this morning and the church and myself. And I want to talk about it in terms of how God has established it and how He has gifted it, the church, and you as a part of the church. Does that make sense? And so I wanted to go to Ephesians. It's an area that talks about certain gifts, and they're rather lofty, and they're very, very important. They're rather lofty, but I want you to get the context in which Paul writes this to the Ephesian church. Because this is a church that has people built their walk on faith and trusting and knowing the Word of God. And so when they were told things, they didn't just necessarily believe them. When some traveling preacher, even Paul, came and preached to the Ephesian church, which he had a great deal of influence and impact on the building of that church. Whenever he came, they didn't just accept everything he said just because he was the great apostle Paul. They searched the Word of God. They made sure it was in balance with what the Bible says. And you know, today we have a major problem that faces a lot of Christian, especially young Christians. There are so many doctrines, there are so many ideologies in Christianity today that the basic fundamental truth of the gospel is sometimes lost with the new lofty revelations that we've been given. And I don't believe all the revelations have come from God, but they've been revealed to somebody. But many of them are not biblical, and they're certainly not balanced with Bible. So I want to get in this year. I want to talk about gifting. I want to talk about your gifts. I want to talk about the church gifts. And I want to talk about them in the context of our faith. Why God has given us faith, and how He is going to advance it and grow it in our lives. That's why I ask you to pray with me, God, what do I want You to do for me this year? What do I want to happen in my spiritual walk with You this year? We all want to get closer. Okay, that's a given. Let's go a little deeper than just getting closer, okay? Because I could be 10 miles away, and getting closer is only one step. Follow what I mean? So I want to talk about, I want to get in contact with the Lord as never before. Now, I've been in contact with God 40-some-odd years, but every year should be an advancing in the kingdom. You should be growing and maturing, and your spiritual walk should be developing in such a way that you walk in the power of God, that you're not relying on your total intuition, but you're relying upon the leadership and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that you become so heavenly minded that you cannot function on this planet. Amen? I think you should function better on this planet. That's what I believe. And so I'm striving. I'm doing crazy things like listening to classical music and Christmas music until it stops and things like that. I'm trying to do something in my spirit to keep something new happening. Does anybody? And something different, not the same thing all the time. And so I'm reading different kinds of books. I'm reading a book, I'm not quite done with it, that Saul Marquez told me about, Shifting the Monkey. It's an interesting book about leadership and about where responsibility belongs and how to keep it where it belongs and not taking it on yourself or transferring it to someone else who's not responsible for that. You follow what I'm saying? It's a neat little book. It's not a big book, but it's an easy book to read, which is very good for me. If it came in just pictures, I would be in heaven. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I'm trying to invest in my life in new ways, just perchance that it might develop a gift in me that Jesus Christ can use. Amen? And I'll get to that kind of thing in just a moment. But I want to read the scripture for you because I want you to get the context because it's rich. The main verse I want to read for you is verse 8. But I want to read the context up to that because it is so enriching to verse 8. It tells you why verse 8 is so important. And so let me read there as quickly as I can. I therefore, Paul talking about himself, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the job, the vocation, wherewith Jesus has called you, or you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, humility, with long-suffering, forbearing one another, motivated by love, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We want unity in the Spirit, but we want it to be peaceful for everybody. And I'll tell you why that happens a little bit later. There is one body and one, capital S, Holy Spirit, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. The hope, of course, is the promise of Jesus Christ and eternal life. Verse 5, one Lord, there's one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, transcends all, through all, and is in, or dwells in all of you. But unto you, verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of what? The gift of Christ. The gift of Christ is the same to all of us. Now, it manifests differently, of course, because you're a different person than me. Amen? But it is extended to all of us. The gift is given, and according to that measure, grace is given. So that only distinction, the only variable there is you, not the gift of God, not the grace of God. That's always consistent. Amen? Now, with all of that in mind, there's unity here. There's oneness with God. God is over all and in all and through all, and he's ministering in that way. And he's doing it according to the grace that he's given us through Christ. Verse 8, listen to this. It's very important. Wherewith he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And gave gifts unto men. I want to talk to you today about minding your gifts. You've been told mind your own business, haven't you? Well, I'm telling you to mind your own gifts today. And I hope I hope in saying it that way, it will be the very impetus that drives into your spirit that what God has planted there is not only purposeful, but it is so beneficial to you and to everybody else around you, and especially to the house of God. Now, I want to make a distinction this morning. I am talking in hopes to mature Christian people. Mature at whatever level you're at, that's fine. But not childish. All right. I want to talk about things that are a little deeper. Now, if you're not a Christian and you're seeking Christ and you're wanting to receive him perhaps, that's available to you at any time. You can actually walk up in this service in the middle of my preaching and stop me and say, I want to receive Jesus Christ, and we will stop this whole service for you to receive Jesus Christ. Amen? But let us go on beyond that a little bit this morning. Even if you're in that situation and you're seeking for Christ and so on, I want you to understand that where I want to take you is where God is wanting to take you. God wants to take you to a deeper place in him. It's always his cause. It's always his job. Always his desire to take you deeper in him. Not closer, deeper. Make sense? He wants you to grow in maturity and strength and understanding and wisdom and all of those things. But he also wants you to grow in the gifts that he has planted in you. Now, I want to talk about gifts a little bit, and then I want to talk a little bit later about how minding your gifts is so important. Because gifts are absolutely important to the house of God and to the kingdom of God. In fact, in the book of Revelation, which is an awesome book that nobody understands, and everybody's afraid to read, you know what I'm saying? But it is so full of richness and so much insight and so much, of course, future information that it's a very, very exciting book. But you've got to know how to read it. And it tells you how to read it right in the beginning. You're going to talk about the things of the past, the things that are present, and the things that are the future. Well, the things that were present, he was talking about the seven churches of Asia Minor. And in every one of those churches, except for one, he had something that he needed to talk to them about. There was something that they needed to improve upon. There were things that they were doing very well that he commended them for, and that was awesome. He commended them for being faithful to him in the midst of heresy in the church, being faithful to Jesus Christ in their heart, even though they were being taught and preached things that were not biblical and not true about Jesus Christ. So that's pretty good commendation, isn't it? But then he also said, but there's a little something I want to talk to you about. And he says that to six of the seven churches. And I find that very interesting because I think it's just as true today as it was when Jesus Christ was giving this revelation to John. I think there are churches that have every one of these issues in them at some point in their existence. There are times when there has been heresy in churches. I'll guarantee every church, there have been times when there have been those like the Nickelodeons that came in with a philosophy or an ideology and tried to turn the church from what it believed into something that was not biblical. You follow me? It was a heresy. And so all kinds of those issues, every church, our church, every church that exists has gone through those kinds of issues. Periodically, we'll have to face some spirit that comes in and wants to change things to whatever their agenda is. I don't know. We've had several, and we've gone through those. We've survived them, basically, and some of us are still crazy, still twitching. But we've survived those things, and so the Lord would probably commend us for remaining faithful in the midst of all those kinds of things. But that's not my point. What I wanted you to understand about the early churches is that Jesus' first gift to them was his revelation. I am the Son of God. I am Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was, who is, and who ever will be. And so that is an awesome revelation to John, but it is the revelation. Anything else that we discover about Jesus Christ, we may call it a revelation because we didn't know about it, but it is really a part of the revelation. Jesus Christ is the revelation. And so anything we learn above and beyond that is beneficial, and it is insightful, and it is descriptive, and it is developmental. Toward anything about Jesus Christ himself. Most of us who are trying to grow and trying to experience that kind of experience in the Lord and let his involvement, let his description, and let his instruction be the inspiration for us, those of you who are trying to do that are probably on the advance. You are probably growing. You're probably developing. You're probably getting to a place where God really wants you to be so he can bless you and use you, and that you will discover ministry is beginning to be developed in your life. I say that's true for every Christian in this room today. There's a ministry being developed in your life, and I'm going to get into it a little deeper here in just a second. And that ministry is based on some very interesting things. First of all, the basic thing that I just talked about, and all of you look at me, oh, I've already been saved, what do I need to hear about that for? The first foundational work of God in our life, of course, is salvation. When we surrender our lives, get our sins forgiven, all that kind of stuff. When I talk to Christians, they all just kind of nod their head and instantly go blank. I know that. Well, what are you telling me? I already know that. Tell me something I don't know. Okay, I'm going to try to do that. One of the things that goes beyond the initial salvation experience is God's development you by gifting you, by ministering gifts into you. And the first access to that, of course, is when you've received Jesus Christ, you have an enlightenment. You begin to understand spiritual things. Is anybody with me? You begin to understand spiritual things. Therefore, you are at the position where you can understand God's working of gifts in your life. You may not know all about it, but you know something's happening in me. Something's going on. Something is stirring me. And I would guarantee and I would propose, because I am a Pentecostal, charismatic, upside-down cake Christian, and I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that there are giftings that come especially with that experience. But I'm talking about not there yet. I don't want to get there yet. I want to talk about other things first. Because here's something that you may not have realized that's very important to God. God is very concerned about how you were made. I know he had a big part of that, because God is a part of all creation. And it isn't just that he wound up a clock and taught Adam and Eve how to have kids and let the clock tick however it went, and however the genetics went, they went. There's a lot to that, but God has designed that, And God has directed that. And something happens when you're born again, I believe, and you can disagree with that. I can't even show you in Scripture. And so if you want to think of it as heresy, that's fine. I think God has to do with some of your genes and your chromosomes and everything else. I think God is involved in that. And I don't think that you're an accident. I don't care what the circumstances of your birth are. I think you're so intent, God is so intent on making you special that you don't even know you're special. You are so dynamically, unbelievably, complicatedly glorious on this planet. Because God has created you. Now, you may call it procreation from the originals. That's fine. Call it what you want to. But I say when those seeds come together and life begins, God has a part of that. I think life is given by God. Hello? And so one of the awesome things is that when he did that designing and your mom and your dad came together and whatever the circumstances and whatever the economic status and what, it doesn't make any bit of difference. When you came to God together, God put life in you, and he had a design for you. Now, we know all that stuff. We've been to biology class. No, you don't. What you don't realize is that what God put in you innately right then is a dynamic that defines you. What God put in you at birth defines you in advance of even arriving there. Now you can say, well, I screwed my life up for 45 years. Okay, so what? If you give your heart to Jesus Christ, he will recreate you. Absolutely recreate you. Praise the Lord. You will no longer be that messed up person. You will be that transformed person. And the genetics that God put in you in the beginning will then begin to flourish. And only under the influence of the Holy Spirit will they flourish. And all those innate talents and skills and abilities that you have when you were born are still a gift of God. Yeah. I mean, we got Scott up here just picking the strings. Me, I go, do, 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 do. My dog has fleas. That's all I know. There's a large part of that, I think, that came from Ken. Who he does a little strumming on his own. You follow what I'm saying? And if you look at Scott's boy, you see the same thing. All of his kids, they got that music gene is in their family. And I see it as a gift of God. Amen. The sad thing of all people, Christians or non-Christians, is that they don't realize the gift that is given them is from God, and they don't cherish it. It's only Christians that got enough smarts because of the Holy Spirit that begin to realize this is a God-given talent. I'm watching Bill Gaither. Gosh, is it that late? Bill Gaither has this thing now. You know, he used to have the thing where they'd all gather together, all the great gospel singers together, and they'd be singing a song, and one of them would stand up and start singing, you know, and that kind of thing. And I always dreamed about being a great singer, but that's one of those developed gifts, you know what I mean? But anyway, so I'm watching this, and one of the things that this, Jimmy something, I can't remember his name, but man, he's got a nice little voice, and he's got some good backup people too. But anyway, Bill Gaither's conversing with them, and then he'll sing a song, and then he'll talk some more. Have you seen that on TV? Yeah. Anyway, that guy's got a great, but one of the things I noted that he talked about is that he didn't really feel like he had that talent. Isn't that interesting? You and I look at this guy and watch him sing, you would say, this guy's always had this talent. And he probably has. A certain amount of it he learned and developed, like playing the guitar and whatever. But in him was that talent. It was innately, God put it there when he was born. Am I making any kind of sense there? And so what we don't realize is, and I think it's a sad story, illustrated by the death of so many young entertainers, for not realizing the gift that's been given them and cherishing it, but wasting it and squandering it, amen? And so when we talk about gifting, I want us to understand that gifts are built into people when they're born, but I want you to know that they were never built into you to be just your gift. Now, it's different when we talk about some of these other gifts. I want you to understand, when God puts an innate gift in you, it is for service, to minister. And we got a lot of ministers that aren't even Christians. There's a lot of great musicians, a lot of great talents of all kinds that use their great talent to great benefit, but they may not be a Christian. But that was still a gift that God put in them. And they may never, ever come to the knowledge of that, but I want you to understand that God's gifts that he builds into you are for everybody, not just you. You are a steward of the gift that God has given you. What do I mean by steward? You're the one that has a gift that God put in you when you were born, that you are responsible for how successful it is, how many people it blesses, and how useful it is for humanity or whatever. Now, when you add Christ to that, then you'll obviously apply that to the church, right, and to the kingdom. And we'll talk about that in a second as well. And I don't want to be like Missler. You know Chuck Missler? Scott was telling me about this. He'll say something very important, and he said, well, that's for another time to talk about. No, we want to talk about it today and touch on it a little bit anyway. I want you to know that God has not placed gifts in our midst or in our lives or in our churches or in the kingdom just to sit idly by. Every one of us has been gifted. We may not have discovered the gifts. We may not have developed them. We may never have even understood what was happening to us. I just grew up this way. My daddy was a guitar banjo player. I became a guitar banjo player. That may be true, but that is not the essence of why those gifts were chromostoned or genetically put into you. You know what I'm saying? And so God, there's a purpose for everyone, even those who don't even serve God. God has still put a blessing there. And so the thing that God has done in this particular scripture that I think is so important is lay out for us God's purposes, as well as the fact that he is the one who initiates gifts. I like that. I like that because I realized then that I have someone to cooperate with in developing gifts in my life. And in fact, a large part of developing you as a person is God developing your gifts in you. And that's not just talents like, you know, I'm a good writer, a good singer, a good baseball player, good drummer, whatever. It doesn't matter what the gift is. You do understand that God has a purpose of developing that in you, and then the purpose of developing that is to develop you as an individual. Many of the things that you will experience in life will somewhere dovetail with the talents that are in you. Some of us will be smart enough and insightful enough and mature enough to let those things guide us in our vocation, in our life, and in our directions of our lives. Amen. And so we understand then by those experiences that God is developing something in us. And God, if we can use gifts for God, by the way, a lot of non-Christians use gifts for God. Did you know that? I'm losing you. I can feel you slipping into the sand. I want you to understand that no matter what you think you don't have, you're wrong. God has put talent in you. God has put gifts in you. He's put abilities in you, talents in you, so that he can develop them, so that he can develop you as an individual. And he does that even to non-Christians. I know because I experienced it. I had no talent, and God made me talented, a big mouth. And here I am. So I want you to understand, when we talk about gifts, and we talk about the context of church, which is the gifts for the kingdom and so forth, I want you to understand that these kingdom gifts are very important, but these are not the kind of gifts that are entirely given for everybody else. It has an aspect of that, but these kind of gifts are God's gifts amongst men, using individuals in ministry for his purposes and for his glory. So there are kingdom gifts. They're gifts that he gives to us, and we experience them, that are outside us, that are planted in us. That's kingdom gifts. Then there are spiritual gifts. These are spiritual gifts which enhance us spiritually on a personal basis. This is where God does something in us, gives us a spiritual gift of some kind to bless us, develop us, use us, minister through us. Those are spiritual gifts that develop us spiritually. Then there are edifying gifts. There are things that God builds in us that you may even think that these were part of how you grew up. When I think of some gifts like hospitality, that is a gift in the Bible. You know that, don't you? Hospitality is a gift, and the first mind comes to my mind, first name that comes to my mind, does it come to yours? Let me see if I can channel this to you. When I think of hospitality, I think Vera Mae Boffman. Amen? Praise the Lord. For years and years and years and years and decades, she has stood at that door and welcomed everybody who comes through those doors into this church. Welcomes them as if they were family. In fact, she might not even know you, but you might just get hugged and smooched. I don't know. I didn't set too many limits. I said just welcome and greet them, and how she does, it's her business. But she's done a great job for lots of years, and if we were ever going to have a dinner at this church, she was in the center of that, making all kinds of goodies, and I'm telling you, food that you just, you write home to mom about. You know what I'm talking about? So when I think of a hospitality gift, let me tell you something. Long before she used that in church, she well knew how to cook. When she raised all those kids and raised LD, her husband, when she got them all raised, she already knew all that cooking business before she became a Christian and got involved in it. You follow what I'm saying? That was innate. That was in her. That was built in her. Now, I don't want to belabor the whole point and the idea that there are gifts of all sorts in our lives and that you can categorize them. That's very important. But what you need to understand is God is using them in dynamic ways today that he never used before. Oh, yeah, they're rooted in hospitality, but loving people into the kingdom of God is a little bit farther than just loving them in a dinner. You know what I'm saying? And so God has a purpose for the kingdom to grow, for you to grow spiritually, and for the people of the church, not just the whole kingdom, but for the people of this local church, that you might be edified and that you might grow and that you might be developed spiritually as you watch and you learn and you're taught and exampled by people like Vera and others in here that have different kinds of examples and different kinds of faithfulness. And there are a lot more gifts we're going to cover, but not at this point. We just want to know that you've been birthed into the kingdom and that the beginning steps have already begun of your development. Because I think through this coming year, it will help you to grow and understand some of the parameters of gifts. Because see, let me just give you one example. There's a bad thing that happens when we get spiritual gifts. I'm not talking about the ones you're born with. I'm not talking the ones like learning how to play a guitar that you develop. But I'm talking about the Holy Spirit coming on you and giving you a gift. We heard one this morning, and we heard two. Two different words from God. Gifts that God has planted in them, and they were used this morning. Did you remember that? Or did you fall asleep like Ryan said? So we saw those gifts manifested. Here's one of the big, just as a side note to let you know an example here. A lot of times people who get a gift think that that gift is so important because that consumes them. That's who they are. And so that gift has to be used. The problem is when we think everybody else should be using that same gift. Follow me? That's just one example of some of the dangers that hinder the gifts that God puts in you. But those gifts are put in you for the development of you as a person, your spirit, and the church. I'm gifted so this church can grow. You're gifted so this church can develop. You're gifted so that you can help other people grow in their gifts. Hello, anybody there? And so what's God saying to us here at the beginning of the year? I want to operate all my gifts in all my people for all my glory. That's what he's saying. The problem has come that people don't recognize their gifts, don't recognize a place for their gifts. And here's an interesting thing. The scripture even talks about it. A man's gift will make a place for him. You know what he's talking about? That gift that God plants in you will grow and mature and not step on other people's toes, but grow and mature and become a mature ministering gift in a person if they recognize that this is God and not them exercising the gift. And therefore, are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
We're then falling in the category of under the unction of the Holy Spirit. That's these kind of gifts. He plants them in you and he begins to unction them. People have been unctioned until they shut their mouth. I can't tell you how many people that I've looked at and seen the gift of God come into their lives, start to develop, and then they just get unsure of themselves, unsure of what's happening, unsure of anything about the spiritual gift, and they just stop doing it. Now, let me ask you something. If you have a church full of 10% people that know their gift and are doing it, and a church of another 10% that aren't sure anymore, don't know what it's all about, have not been mentored, have not been guided, directed, or instructed on how to use the gift that they've got and where to plug it in or let the gift grow to the point where it makes the place for them. Can I give you an example? Quiltinators. Quiltinators. Remember all the gift, the quilts that were here? These are ladies that had a talent. Their talent grew. They got together and finally it developed into a ministry. Their gift made a place for them in this church. And a very solid ministry in this church. So what I'm alluding to is that if you're at a place where you know God has used you in some manner, some way, somehow, and you're not doing it, then how do you expect God to answer your prayers? If you've not answered your call, how can you expect Him to answer your prayers? If a husband can get mad at his wife and God stop answering prayer, do you think he's going to hesitate if you stop doing what he asks you to do? Well, of course he's going to halt it. Oh, he's not going to leave you, abandon you, and if you die, you don't go to heaven. Of course you go to heaven. But my point is, your life is empty without God's gifting in your life. Purpose? I got no purpose. I got no gift. I don't know where I'm going. How many Christians you know go to church? They just sit there and they don't even, what do we do? Is this all we do is just sing and watch the pastor up there flap around his wings and whatever? How many people you know that goes to church, any church, pick a church, that see God moving all over the place and don't get involved in it? It got quiet. I'm trying to teach you something. Oh gosh, is that me he's talking about? I'm not talking about any of you. I'm just talking about people. People. It's natural for you to go the other direction. Follow me? You're a people, and you people, all people, me people, have a tendency to go away from the things of God rather than to run toward them. It's just nature, human nature. Oh, yeah, I've experienced that. I need something new, something different. Oh, I know all of that. He's preached that so many times. It's worthless. It is not worthless. What is worthless is the fact that some people have not realized that God has been shouting from the housetop, will you please do what you already are gifted to do? Amen? Let me give you one example. If every Christian would vote, we could change the course of this nation. Want to say that again? No, once is enough. It's true. If we would be, what did he say? United? If we would be united, Christians would be united. Instead of worrying about whether you're speaking in tongues is right or baptized in the name of Jesus or in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all these little things that make differences out of, why don't we unite on the right purpose that Jesus Christ is King? And that I'm going to follow Him to the ends of the earth, and I think I'm going to vote my conscience according to Jesus Christ. Hello! Praise God. Hurry up, Pastor. Hurry up. So we've talked about the innate gifts, talked about the gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit, and gifts that are learned. We learn and we develop gifts. And you know what? I knew a Sunday school teacher once that told me, because this person read books like a starving animal. Just consumed books, reading books about Jesus, about the Bible, read the Bible, all, and they would come up with things in this, and it just, of course, I'm a young Christian, listen to this, and almost every word that spilled out of their mouth was brand new seed to me, because I didn't know that much about the Bible, you know, I'd already been chewed up by a few Jehovah's Witnesses, and so I was a little upset about that, and so I wanted to know more, learn more, and be able to, you know, defend what I had experienced in Christ, and so, that person began to tell me and talk to me and share with me and mentor me and instruct me and educate me in things about the Holy Spirit and about God and about all kinds of things, and it helped grow me. And I learned, and that was the encouragement that Sunday school teacher told me, look, if you don't know something, go find out about it. Amen. If you feel it in your heart, go search it out. Develop it. Grow it in your life. Half of our spiritual growth is us developing things in our lives. when all we had was my wife to play piano in our first church that we pastored, that was wonderful. My wife could tickle the 88s. But I started learning to play the guitar, chord the guitar, so I could give her a little bit of accompaniment. I think I threw her off more often. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll help sing, lead sing. So, you know, so I get back there, I'm playing guitar and I'm singing. That threw everything off. Everybody was off key then. So I kind of faded into the background with a little chord changing and, you know, that kind of thing. But I tried to develop playing a guitar to accentuate our marriage. Of course, I didn't develop far enough. I'm not like O'Scott or whatever, but that part of the genealogy of my family didn't make it this far. Kind of stopped a lip ahead a ways. But anyway, one of the awesome things about what this teacher taught me was, it wasn't just something that she told me, it's something she modeled for me. Because she would come up with things that I'd read the Bible and I just could not see where, and then when she led, it looked like the simplest thing I'd ever read, because the explanation by the Holy Spirit in her was awesome. And so for my whole life, I've tried to do these things. I have spurts where I do it really well for a long time, and then I get lazy like everybody else and take a nap, you know. But I do, and over the last few years, God has prompted me, I want you to finish well. And I think part of finishing well is developing me better. Do things to enhance me as a person. And one of the reasons I felt like maybe we should start talking about gifts, and not every Sunday, but quite a few Sundays through the year, is to help others begin to see that God has actually planted things in us. Amen. And that if we cultivate them, and if we, irrigate them, and we do all that stuff that you do, I don't even know how to grow nothing, but I try, and do all that stuff, that those things will begin to blossom and bring fruit in our lives. Now, I don't mean to insult you when I say this, and I know it's going to. So half of you won't be back next week, but anyway, I realize, you know, it's an interesting thing. I'm motivated by a lot of gifts, and I'm motivated by a lot of things that God has planted in me. But I also am not stupid. I am well aware that not everyone is motivated the same way I am. Amen? I'm the pastor. Okay, what does that mean? That means if nobody's here to scrape the walks, I will scrape the walks. It means if nobody's here to paint the buildings, I paint the buildings. Or as many suckers as I can get to help me. You follow what I'm saying? So what it means is I'm responsible for the administration of this church. So wouldn't it be good if I had some administrative skills? I'm not the best at that, but I'm trying to develop them. I'm trying to be a better leader by developing administrative skills and starting to deal with certain things. And it's an interesting thing. I have spurts of greatness in my own mind. And then I... But with just the title of pastor of this church, there's a lot of responsibilities that fall on my shoulders. Yeah. I may be good at some, but there are obviously going to be those that I'm not that good at. Therefore, what does God do? Give you the full round circle. He raises up somebody in this church to come alongside the pastor and help him in those areas where he doesn't have the time or the ability or whatever. And so my prayer has always been, and I've not always been successful in my prayer, is, God, send us people that will come alongside us and fill in the gaps where I'm not good enough. And I'm the first one to recognize that I'm not perfect in all these things. I am perfect personally, but I mean, no. Anyway. So what I'm trying to tell you is, in the full gamut of this, God putting gifts in the church, God putting gifts in the kingdom, God putting gifts in the church, God putting gifts in you, God putting in the ministry of this church, all these gifted things require somebody that has some intuition to figure it out. And therefore, who's that first fall on? The dog, the big dog on the porch. And so it's my responsibility to try to get across to you the vision, the excitement that I think God has planted in us for this coming year and for any year, but it's my responsibility to get it across to you. And I well realize that you will not be motivated like me. But together, we can enhance each other's strengths and help with our weaknesses. Amen? Isn't that what the unity thing is all about? So we may be, see people rise up with gifts. Oh, that looks awesome. Gifts are necessary. Gifts are important. You got to have them. God built you with them. But they have to work in cooperation with the Holy Spirit and with everybody else in the church. And so, you know, I'll give an example. I'm not putting anybody on the spot. So I'm just going to talk about Lynn Kelly. Lynn is an awesome lady. She is a worship lady. If she didn't lead worship on Sunday nights, she'd be leading worship in her bedroom or living room. How do I know that? Chuck tells me all these things. I'm in there watching TV, and all of a sudden, wah, 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 Lynn starts worshiping. What makes that so important? That's her gift. That's her gift. And so she enhances it for herself, and then she brings it to us on Sunday nights and shares it with us. But I'm going to guarantee a couple things. One, there are times when she feels like she's not reaching a soul with the song. Lynn, am I right? And there are times when she feels she's not adequate. Lynn, you can just shout if you want to. They'll know you're here. And she'll go through all of those uncertainties and those wonderments and those questions. Am I really doing what the Lord wants me to do? Am I really reaching people like He wants me to do? Am I really leading the right songs on Sunday night? Are the people being blessed? All these leadership questions are going on in her heart. Amen? Now let me be the Holy Spirit this morning and say, Lynn, you're doing an excellent job. Excellent job. Excellent job. Amen? Okay, I literally have probably 25, 30 more minutes. Oh, God, help him to quit. But I won't go that far. How's that? Let me just give you some flash stuff. One of our best examples was last week's example of Gideon. He was hiding. He was questioning God. He was remembering things and not living them. The miracles, not living them now. He was not going to church. And he was not edifying anybody. Why are these gifts being wasted? Why? Fear, anxiety, uncertainty. Don't feel adequate. Don't feel skilled. Don't feel able. Because if you read it again, you'll find out that's every excuse he made. What did the angel of the Lord tell him? Hey, thou man of valor. He wasn't a man of valor. But the angel saw him as he would be. I'm not re-preaching the message. I'm just using an example. This is what God has been doing in your life all along. You may never be the one that leads America back to greatness. You may never be the president of the United States. You may never be a person of great influence as far as those issues go. But you can be one of the most powerful Christians in your neighborhood. You can be one of the most powerful Christians in this church. You can be one of the greatest edifiers by allowing God to use the gifts that He's already planted in you. He can use you to lift people up, pray people through deliverance, heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the gospel, deliver men and women from their sins. You can do all those things if you would get out of the wine press. That's what example Gideon gives to us. And let me tell you what else is a great example. Not all that he did wrong, but all that he did right. When he finally got his head together, finally realized that, hey, maybe I am the one God has called. When he realized, yeah, I am useful. Yeah, wait, I've got some talent here. Yeah, maybe I am usable in the hands of God. Maybe I should try this. When he finally did that, God defeated the enemies of Israel, and he was one of the greatest judges that the Israelites had. What that is an illustration of a Christian that gets it, finds out what his gift is, plugs it in, and is letting God develop that in their life. Is that making sense? Yeah. So all my rambling here this morning is to set the foundation for talking specifics with you about your gifts. Before the year's out, my hope and my prayer and my desire is that you'll not only be plugged in with your gift wherever God wants it. It may not even be in service in the church, but it's in service of the kingdom. Follow me? But yeah, you are exercising your gifts. You are using the talents that God has built or given you. or that you have developed for him. Amen?
Amen.
I'm just going to close with this last thing. Advancement is what God has always wanted in your life. He's never wanted you to retreat. He's always wanted you to advance. He's always wanted you to break out with the gift that you've got. Discover what it is, use it, and break out with it until you are edifying other people with the gifts that God has planted in you. Let the Holy Spirit bring balance, and let God open the door. And the kingdom of God, the local church, the kingdom of God, and you will be blessed. And you will be elevated, and you will be edified. And you might even like what God is using you for. Because you know what? It might be what he put in you already. He might use your musical talent, your artistic talent, your speaking talent, your whatever talent for the kingdom of God. Not everything is preaching and singing, you know. Somebody's got to talk to the brokenhearted. Somebody's got to put an arm around the shattered life. Somebody's got to help somebody out of the ditch. Somebody's got to rescue the Samaritan that's been beaten and left for dead. Somebody's got to take him to the inn. Amen? All of which, every one of those gifts, one is not greater than the other. Listen to me. Every gift is equal in the sight of God and usable for the kingdom of God. Let's stand. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yeah, glory to God. Hallelujah. I just want to begin the year by praying for you, praying for myself, hungry for the move of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying that this year the fire falls so hot that it touches every one of us and that it rages so in our hearts that it's like one said, it's like fire caught up in my bones. I want everyone to experience that. And don't tell me that you don't have the ability. I don't believe you. Don't tell me you can't preach or talk or share. I don't believe you. God is the one who's the author of everything in your life. And if you'll listen and obey and follow, you'll be the most fulfilled person on the planet. Because you can do anything that God puts in your heart to do. Amen? Well, I had some other illustrations like Howard Hughes here and stuff, but not important. What's important is that you get the idea that this coming year, we're praying and working toward every one of you finding out what God wants to do in your life and encourage you and facilitating you accomplishing that. If you're at that place where you don't know Christ, getting saved this year would be a pretty awesome thing. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, getting filled with the Holy Spirit. If you don't feel like you're right with God, getting right with God, whatever. But this is the year. We want to sprint this year, not just jog, amen? See things happen in a great way. Some of us are facing issues that are very daunting to us, that are very important to God, that God wants to deal with you. He wants to take you through some of the issues that are ahead of you. God can do anything. So if he takes you through it, it'll be a miracle. Amen? I want to pray that prayer. I want to pray that on you this morning. Father, I want to pray on this church that they realize that they are gifted, that they can be used, and that you want to use them. And that in the fulfilling of you using them, Father, there will be great fulfillment in us. So I pray a blessing on your people this morning, Father. Release the Holy Spirit to just saturate us and ignite a fire in us that renews us and helps us to finish this year well at twice the pace of last year. Intensify where we're going. Let the vision be clearer and better and more on fire. And may your manifestations be made real and amongst your people. May people dance in the Spirit with great joy for the blessings you've given in their lives. May we rejoice and praise and worship, serve you in every way, in every capacity, for your honor and for your glory. Let it consume us, Father, we pray, this year in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless you. God bless you.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.